I'm going to read what my Bible says. It says, this is why it is said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. That's the part I wanted to read anyway. Wake up, O sleeper. I thought about that. Wake up, O sleeper. And as he sang that song, Rise Up, I got to thinking about things, about sleeping. And there's a scripture that is the scripture I want to focus on tonight is in is Acts chapter 20. But before we get there, I want to turn to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, it says, Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. And then also in Isaiah 52:1, Isaiah 52:1 says, Awake, awake, O Zion, clothe yourself with strength, put on your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. This arise, this awake, this wake up, O sleeper, made me think about, you know, what's he saying? And he's saying, what I'm trying to say tonight is it's time for the church to wake up. It's time for us to not only wake up our community, but it's time to wake up the church. And I think for so long, we've kind of been idle and we've been self-centered towards ourselves and not really focused on waking up. And I think that's what the scripture is telling me tonight, is we need to wake up. And in the book of Acts, let's go to the book of Acts because I want to tell this story. I've never preached on this. I've made jokes about it. I've made jokes about this story. I'm going to try to make a point tonight. And chapter 20, starting in verse 7. Now here's Paul. Paul had been with a group of guys. He'd been traveling around on a mission trip. And he was with a big group of guys and he'd been going from place to place, and he just left Philippi, and he had moved to Troas, where he stayed there for 7 days. And as he was there, at the end of his time, he was getting ready to leave. It says here, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. And Paul spoke to the people, and because he had intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. Now, I know that if I would talk that long, you guys, there would be a smaller crowd than this tonight. I don't know if very many people would stay till midnight. Can you imagine starting in at supper time and talking till midnight? And there were many lamps in the upstairs room. They were in the upper room breaking bread. Rooms were where they were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on, is what the scripture says. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story window, or from the third story, and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Now, there's some things I want to bring out here because this scripture that I'd read before in Ephesians about wake up, O sleeper, reminded me of this story about Eutychus falling out of the window. And, you know, it talks about Paul, you know, rambling on and talking, preaching on and on and on. And then he goes and he wait. You know, the boy falls out the window and then he goes down and brings him back to life. And then he goes back up and talks again until daylight. So he spoke all night long, you know. And one of the lessons that I joke about learning out of this is long-winded preachers will kill people. It's true. It's proof right here. So I'm not long-winded, you guys know that. I don't want to kill anybody. But the other focus of this is is the fact that here was this young man. He was at church. He was at the gathering. He was there listening to a point, but then he got tired after a while, and I can't imagine. He was sitting in the window. They were upstairs, and I'm sure there was a cool breeze, but one thing that I thought of was here he was sitting in the window, and he was probably gazing out maybe at his buddies that were out in the street maybe playing or something. He was thinking about other things. But yet he was sitting in the window. So really what I mentioned this morning is about being in Christ. You know, he wasn't really in the picture right here, really. He was half in and half out. Does it make sense? He was sitting in the window. So his focus wasn't on what Paul was talking about. And he started to fall asleep. And he got tired. And I think, you know, how many times have we saw people that have been in the church that have fallen asleep? Maybe not physically. I've saw a few people get tired and fall asleep in church. But I'm talking about fall asleep in church and miss what's going on. And I think we've got a lot of people that attend churches but are not in the church. They're sitting in the window. They're thinking about what's going on outside. They're taking in the cool breeze and they're not really paying attention to what's going on. And they start to fall asleep. And they start to fall into a deep sleep. And we have to be careful about falling into that deep sleep because it can lead to death. Listen to me. And I would say, look at your neighbor tonight. Look at the person sitting next to you and say, don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. Because it can kill you. But you know, how many times have we saw young people, you know, and this was a young man, you know, had other thoughts on his mind. But how many times, you know, have we allowed, as a church, people to fall asleep? And what I got out of this part of it was nobody cared at first. Nobody was paying attention that he was getting sleepy. Nobody said, hey, you better move out of the window or you're going to fall out. Nobody was paying attention to this young man as he dozed off. And so how many times have we not paid attention to our friends and our friends in the church that come and we don't pay enough attention to them and they fall asleep and fall away from the church? Come on now. And I think about that. Wake up, O sleeper. It's time. It's time for the church to pay attention to these things because the time is near. And let's look at Romans. I think that's the next scripture I have. Which one is it? Burn on my list. My list is up here. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. It says, and do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Think about that. It's time for us to wake up, because this time is, you know, I've said this, I say this over and over again, and I mean it. You know, my life is half over. My life is half over, and I've got just a short time now to preach the Word. I've got just a short time now. But he's saying, wake up, wake up. The time is near. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. You know, Christ's return is coming soon. It's sooner now than it ever was from the time we believed. Every day is getting closer and closer and closer and closer. It's time for the church to start getting out into the community and waking people up. Amen. It's time for us to wake each other up. And, you know, we have to have a certain amount of accountability in the church. I want to say to my brothers and sisters, it's time to wake up. I don't want you to fall asleep. I don't want you to fall out the window. I don't want you to fall. I don't want you to die. I want you to be alive in Christ. I think if the church can wake up, this community will wake up. And it's not just this church. It's our churches in the community. We have 70-some-odd churches in a community that has 15,000 people in it, and there's 3,500 people going to church on a regular basis. That's not a good number. Why? Because they're asleep. It's time for us to wake up. Let's look at the next scripture I have. I believe it's John 5:25. Jesus says, "Verily, truly, I tell you the truth." Remember, I talked about the truth this morning. "A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." I'm going to go on in verse 26. "For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son also to have life in Himself. And He has given Him authority to judge because He is the Son of Man." Let's look at chapter 13. Starting in verse 32. There's a lot in this one. He says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard and be alert." See, we can't sleep. We can't sleep. "You don't know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task." Well, listen to this, because this is what the church, this is what we should be doing. "And he tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." Think about that. He's saying, wake up. Don't be asleep. Wake up. You know, we've got a job to do here. It's not about just coming to church and singing some songs and praying a couple prayers and going home and living your life out that way. It's about waking people up out of a dead sleep and saying, you know, when Paul went down, Paul said, "Don't worry." And I think about what God did to me one day. God come down and He fell upon me and He said, "Don't worry." He said, "I'm going to make you alive." And He raised me from that death. And He said, "Once you were asleep and you were dead, and now I'm going to raise you up, and now I want you to go out." Come on. I thought about, why did Paul do that? Why did God give him the power to raise him from the dead? Why did he do that? And then it says he just went on home. Didn't say anything else about the guy. But this story's here for a reason. And I think it's to to show us that, you know what? We can't fall asleep. We can't let our friends and our family fall asleep. We got to be on our guard. We got to watch out. We got to take care of each other. That's my heart's desire. I want to wake up the church. I want to wake up the community. I want to see people's lives transformed. I want to see people brought to life from a dead sleep so that they can have a life in Christ. Amen. Are you awake tonight? Come on, you're quiet. Are you awake tonight? You got a hanky to shake. Amen. Oh, Lord. You know, we joke about those things, but I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, I want to just shout His holy name. I want to shout from the rooftop because I know what He's done for me in my life, and I believe that He has a place prepared for me in heaven. I don't want to suffer the eternity. I don't want to see my friends that suffer eternity in hell. I don't want to see that. That's true. I mean, you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell, and I don't care who tells you anything different. That is what the Scripture said, and that is the truth. There's two places. It's either with God or without Him. There's no middle road. There's no sitting in the window. You're either in church or you're not in church. There's no straddling the fence. We've heard these things. There's no cold nor hot. There's no lukewarm, right? You're either one way or the other. Many scriptures talk about that over and over again. You're either with God or you're not with God. And I think this falling asleep is one of the most dangerous places to be because it happens so slowly. First you get a little tired. You get a little complacent. And then the deep sleep comes. And the next thing you know, you're falling out of church. And you're moving away from God. And then you're not serving Him at all. And then what happens if the Lord comes? That's what my fear is. That's my fear of God. Is because what happens when the master comes back and the servant hasn't done what the master asked him to do? Because that's what Jesus said. What if he finds you sleeping? I don't want to be found asleep. I want to be found serving in the way that He wanted me to serve. And that's my encouragement to you. That's my encouragement to you. And it's our time. It's your time to encourage the friends that you have, encourage the families. You know, let's wake up. Let's do the things that God wants us to do because this is real. If it's not real, we might as well just stay at home and watch NCIS Los Angeles. It's on all day on Channel 3-5 on Sundays. You can watch every episode over and over again. Seriously. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's either real for you or it's not real for you. Come on. I mean, to me, it's not a joke because I know, I believe it with all my heart. I know what He's done for me, and it's no longer, to me, I'm like, I'm all in. This is not a joke for me. This is not just a thing I come and do. This is not a social club for me. I love my family, and I love my friends. I love to visit. I love to break bread. I love that where Paul says, and I was breaking bread with, you know, they broke bread together. They fellowshiped together. That had a lot of meaning. I love you guys. I love my church family. Not only you guys, but my whole church family. My pastor friends that I have that I can talk to. My accountability partners. If you don't have an accountability partner, find one. You need him or her. You need that person in your life. You need that person that you can go talk to about spiritual things. It's important. It's encouraging. It keeps you from falling asleep. I'm telling you. Wake up. Wake up. I want to serve Him until that time when I hear that trumpet sound. And whether I'm asleep, He says, well, it doesn't matter. The ones that are alive and well will be called up, but the ones that are dead in Christ will rise up. Man. And they're going to meet Him in the air. I believe that. I get goosebumps thinking about it. It means something to me. You're quiet again. Come on. Let's pray. I don't have any more. I really don't. Oh, I do, but I don't. I told you long-winded preachers kill people, and I'm not doing it. But I just want us to take a moment tonight. I want you to take a moment tonight. And I want you to grab a hold of the person next to you and I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for them that they're not tired any longer in their spiritual walk with Christ. That their hearts get set on fire. That their lives are changed and transformed into the thing that Christ wanted them to. One day we have this hope. We have this knowledge that one day Jesus is going to come back and He's going to take His bride. He's going to take His church home. I believe that. Let's pray for each other tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray for each person that's here tonight. Lord, I just ask for Your Holy Spirit to fall upon this place. Let the roof be opened up and let Your glory fall here tonight. Lord, let us just take a moment, Lord, and just celebrate You, Lord, thanking You for the life that You've given us, Lord. Wake us up, Lord, with Your holy presence. Dwell in us, Lord. Lord, give us a new life. Give us strength, Lord. Give us wisdom that we need, Lord. But let us be good examples for You. Let us be found worthy, not asleep. Lord, I just praise You. Wake us up, O God. Call upon our hearts, Lord. Let us be all out for You. Let us be in You, not with You, not beside You, but let us be with You, in You, Lord. Oh, Lord, I just praise You. I thank You for each and every person that's here tonight. Lord, there's many not here. Lord, I just ask, give us the strength, Lord, to be able to witness to others. Let us be able to give us the strength to encourage ones that are not here that need to be here. So that Your house can be full. We honor You with a full house. Lord, let us wake up Your church, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.